All right, great to have you back with us. We bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you doing today?
Okay, Marty, how's it going?
Not bad. Boy, the Giants are making it interesting. You know, you and I have talked about this, the gift from the gods, Arizona and Colorado for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
13 games, and they're 10-1, and they, look, they're hanging in there, and they made it interesting.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how they play against, you know, San Diego to close it out. I mean, you're right, they have had a break in the schedule, but, you know, it's never easy in the big leagues. You know, those are legitimate wins. And it's impressive to me that, you know, they've kind of been out of it for quite a while, just sort of realistically, but Gabe Kapler is playing every game, you know, like it's the playoffs. And, you know, he's right because they're still in it. It's a real titanic long shot now. Like either the Phillies or the Brewers win just one more game, it's over. But I like the determination.
Yeah, and everyone has something to play for. Andy Baggerly and I were talking about this, Bruce. The key in baseball is motivation. And you get to this time of year, if you're out of it, look at Colorado. Tell me about their motivation. But the Giants are motivated because everybody on that offensive side, even in the bullpen side, everyone's up for evaluation because who knows what's going to happen this winter. So they have a reason to go out there and play as hard as they can other than just being professionals and doing it.
Boy, no kidding. Among the younger guys, or, you know, medium to younger guys, there aren't many who kind of know they're going to be on the team. I mean, you know, I'm sure Flores is obviously set, and Estrada has made a great name for himself. But so many of these other guys have been sort of disappointing, and they know that they're better than what the stats show, and they want to make sure, even if they're not coming back here, they're going to go somewhere. And they got to make it clear, you know, Yastrzemski being a great example, he's really starting to hit. It's a little late, but it's a good finish, and it shows the Giants and maybe other teams that, you know, this is what he thinks he's all about.
Not sure what happened with Jock Peterson. When they needed him midseason, he disappeared. And Andy wrote about it the other day, and I commend him for a good story. I mean, that Jock is out of shape, basically. That he's sort of one-dimensional, and now he's starting to hit a little bit. What do you do with him? The Jock Peterson story is one of those that's up in the air, really.
Well, yeah, it's funny because, you know, you can't, you know, he's not going to be a regular outfielder. That's done. Even if he gets in better shape, he's just not a good outfielder. And, you know, it's tough against lefty hitters. So do you want him back as a DH against right-handers? You know, maybe some other players come into to play there that could get some time there. So, you know, if he does come back, I don't see him being totally satisfied with his playing time unless he just goes out of his mind and has to play against everybody. And as far as the other teams go, you know, they've noticed, of course, he has a fantastic postseason record. But if they watched him this year, like you say, he wasn't there when they needed him, and he looked kind of lost a good deal of the time. So, you know, are other teams really going to put much stock in trying to acquire him? So he's in kind of an odd place. I think if he does come back, he's still in the Bay Area, and he can revive himself with a decent season.
Well, he can hit. He's a good left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem with the platoon is whenever you start platooning people, you're telling the player, you can't do this.
That's
so
right.
So we have to get someone to do it, and I don't like that. That there's too many on the team that they have to do that with.
Well, this whole year has been about that. It's been telling just about everybody, you can't do this or that. And, you know, Farhan Zaidi has said many times, you know, that we need more regular players. It just makes sense that you have to have some stability in your lineup. You have to have guys who you know, if they go 3-for-5, they're not going to be benched the next day because of who's pitching. That's just, you can't have that.
Right. No, well said. And that's the goal of the off season. Bruce, Carlos Rodon. And I don't think we overlook him. Maybe, you know.
I hope not.
In the year of, well, you don't get 20 wins anymore, you know, because wins, you know, you're out of the game in 5 innings, what have you. But what a season this guy has had. This is the Bumgarner-Lincecum kind of season. This is Ray Sadecki in 1968. This is Carlos Rodon had a great year. I hope they go out and make an effort to sign him, and a legitimate effort, because if you have him and Logan Webb going into a series, you have to feel pretty good. And I hope they make a legitimate effort. They can afford it. Even if he's terrible the last 2 years of the deal, who cares? They can eat it. They have to go out and get this guy.
I agree. And not only do they look good in a series with those two guys, but if they have Rodon and Webb for an entire season, that's a playoff team if they restore the lineup. You know, that's as good a top two as any team.
Right.
It really is. I mean, Rodon is just ridiculous now. He's closing out probably stronger than anyone, maybe even he thought that he could after last year when his arm kind of withered a little bit near the end of the season. But he's an unbelievable pitcher. He's the great fastball, the unhittable slider, and he's been a blessing. I really think they should go hard for him because, again, that gives you two really great starting pitchers in the rotation, and that's just a leg up on a lot of teams.
You know, I was looking through my book here. You know, they did sweep the Phillies at home. They took two or three from Atlanta at home. You know, they are very capable. They just have to be more consistent as a team and catch the ball, and that's they don't need to have players playing six positions. Let Estrada learn how to be a second baseman.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a shift next year. He's got to cover a lot of ground. Let's see him turn double plays, hopefully with Crawford. But, you know, don't move people around all the time. You don't have to.
No, and I don't think they will. I think that'll be the big thrust. If they do get one of the top shortstops, I'm not sure what happens to Crawford. You know, maybe he plays a little third, a little second. It'd be a little rough, you know, and I'm sure the fans would be more than sympathetic toward Crawford's cause. But, you know, if you bring in, I don't know, all these guys, Trey Turner, Dansby Swanson, Ben Bogaerts, these guys are all young and up on the way up. They're superstars, really. And I don't know if they go that route, but the bottom line is you just need some stability. And, you know, last year we saw they brought in Chris Bryant. This is the kind of guy they need to bring in now if they don't get Aaron Judge. They brought in Chris Bryant, who played every day. He played a lot of positions, but, you know, he was a veteran guy who you could put in there, and he really, really helped him. You know, you forget about him now. He's had such a lost season with injuries in Colorado, but that's the kind of guy that they need, a veteran guy who has some experience, ideally in the postseason as he did. It just makes a big difference to have a few guys like that.
Great point. No, great point. We do forget about Chris Bryant. He did make a big difference when they brought him in. You mentioned Aaron Judge. What a week for Aaron Judge. And, you know, he tied Roger Maris, and that's no small feat. And I thought it was just wonderful and good for baseball, good for him. I don't know. The whole thing was terrific.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's such a class act. I can't imagine anyone, you know, rooting against him. Even the Maris family was really embracing him. And you know, a lot of people think that he's, you know, one more home run, and he's the all-time champ. And that's an argument for forever, for the ages, you know, against Bonds and McGuire, Sammy Sosa. But he's... To hit, he's got 61. Does the next guy have 8? I mean, it's almost next guy's like that's 37. You know, that's an amazing disparity, especially in this age of the launch angle and everybody's trying to hit the ball out. And for him to just about double what other guys are doing is just crazy. And again, just a total class act. There was a game about a week ago, and he was still short. He still had 59. He's in Toronto. And he starts chatting up. He's in the on-deck circle. He starts chatting up a couple people in the front row, like through the netting. Just friendly as heck, you know, for like almost a minute. Very cool.
Yeah. No, I love him. I think what he's done has been amazing. And, you know, people root for him. You know, when Maris was doing this record, and I talked to Greg Papa and John Lund about this the other day, you know, everyone was rooting against Roger Maris because he wasn't worthy.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
He wasn't worthy. Ford Frick, who was the ghostwriter for Babe Ruth, was now the commissioner and saying you got to do it in 154 games and put all sorts of pressure on Maris, and everybody wanted Mantle.
Yes.
But Aaron Judge.
I know I did.
Yeah, but Aaron Judge was the other side of the coin. Everyone is pulling for him to break the record. I think that helped. It had to help.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got peace of mind through the whole thing. He never looked rattled or bothered by the questions or all the attention that he's getting. It's such a flip side to Maris. It's almost an inconceivable flip there. I mean, you know, Maris wound up, you know, he lost some hair. He was really suffered from depression. And I tell you, I'll give Maris a lot of credit for continuing on as just a tremendous ball player. People go, what's he doing? You know, he's not an all-time great. Maybe not, but if you saw him with the Cardinals those years, and he's getting back in the World Series, winning them, playing right field, and really was a terrific player who kept his career going at the elite level. And now we get to see where Judge goes. That's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, Cepeda loved Maris. He told me so many times that when Maris got to the Cardinals, the two of them together, that changed the whole team of the Cardinals. He loved Maris, so you couldn't say enough about him. You know, I thought about Judge the other night watching his press conference, and I said to myself, well, he's now an all-time Yankee. I mean, his number's going to get retired. He's going to get a monument. He's going to get a plaque in Monument Park out there. He's made his bones, so to speak, as a New York Yankee. I have a tough time seeing him leave there. But maybe he would. Maybe he's just a happy-go-lucky guy who says, I'll go anywhere. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know how you hit 61 or 2 or whatever with the Yankees and then leave. Yeah. That just doesn't sound right. And it's funny, you know, that with their retired numbers, there's an amazing single-digit order to it, 1 through 9. I mean, you got all the greats in there, Ruth and Gehrig and Mantle and Yogi. It's just a tremendous... You know, Maris was number 9, and now you have 99. So it's out on the perimeter. It's out in the garden somewhere. But it doesn't make sense unless he really is a little beaten down by the New York scene, which there's no evidence of. I don't see him leaving.
Now, you think that this one especially brought him closer to the fans and to the franchise and everything else. So we'll see. Yeah. I hope the Giants make a legitimate effort to get him. The Giants have money. They have money. They can go out, and they need players. And that's the bottom line of this whole September run. It's a lot of fun. It's been terrific. But for next year, you can't do it this way. You need some players. All right. Albert Pujols, when is it going to stop? I mean, 7:01 for him last night. How about that?
Yeah, I like that he's still going. You know, he's going to wind up with probably 7:03 or 4. Who knows? And, you know, a great way to go out. He's talked about retiring, and that's the fact that he's got 700 probably ices it. Although I'll tell you, the guy still turns on a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. I mean, geez, I don't know why it's not like he's struggling to the finish line. I mean, he's just a big-time player. He's going to be huge for them in the postseason. I was going to say, if they win it, you know, or they get to the World Series and he has a great year, how can you retire? But then again, that would be an awfully good way to retire, you know, on that stage. So, but however it shakes out, I mean, you just can't wait to watch this guy hit, to watch his reactions in the dugout. He's another guy like Judge who's just a ray of sunshine. He loves the game so much. He loves being with the guys. And meanwhile, his 700 home runs is so mind-blowing. I think his teammates look at him going, how do you do that?
Well, yeah, and plus, how about he's going to be in the playoffs. I mean, you know, we haven't seen the last of him. And he's going to have an effect in this playoff, too, because he's a legitimate hitter in the lineup. How would you like to have a platoon of Pujols and Jock Peterson? How about that?
Not bad. You better hold up your end there, Jock.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a platoon. That's a platoon. You know, the other one that was really class, I felt, that the whole Judge thing was Stanton. You know, Bruce, Stanton hit 59 home runs a few years ago. And it's like he did. God, you got to remind me of that. And he was right there for Judge, but he had 59.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, in the playoffs, it could be all about Stanton. You never know. I mean, he's still Giancarlo Stanton. He tends to get hurt quite a bit, and he's in and out of the lineup. But just give him 3 games with a homer, and then 2 homers, and another homer, and you know that turns the whole series. Mm-hmm. And he hits monstrous, like ridiculous, terrifying home runs. And that's going to be that. Watching him, and I still put Rizzo in there. He didn't hit the 40 homers that I predicted. He got hurt a little bit, but
pretty close.
Very dangerous. And I love this kid, Osvaldo Cabrera out of Venezuela, mm-hmm. came up and has been really very special. Just amazingly composed in that setting. Switch hitter, good outfielder. He's hitting around, has been hitting around 300. So I like the Yanks are going to be a delight to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Pitching is going to be the name of the game, and deep pitching. I see Britton is on the 60-day DL now. He didn't come back. But with all that's going on, you know, New York baseball is always fun. You know, we're going to see a million games and a lot of attention in the media about it. But this series with the Mets in Atlanta, Bruce DeGrom pitched last night. No walks, 11 strikeouts. Unfortunately, though, he gave up three home runs. Yeah. And they ended up loading the bases in the ninth inning. The Mets did, down 5-2, and Jansen got out of it. But DeGrom got beat. DeGrom got beat by Fried, and Fried was gone after the fifth inning.
Yeah, that first home run, Austin Riley, was a slider. And on the Mets broadcast, they were talking about how he had some issues with his slider in Oakland. He had a very poor start at the Coliseum recently, and a little trouble with the slider. Then he gives up two more homers. So, you know, you have to be concerned about that. I'll tell you one really interesting thing about that game. The the Mets brought up a 20-year-old catcher named Francisco Alvarez. He's made his debut. They called him up the day before. Now he's in the lineup against the Braves at DH. That's how little faith they had in Darren Ruff. Darren Ruff hasn't done anything since joining the Mets. He's hitting 152 with no homers. His last homer was against Kershaw in July when he's with the Giants. Yeah. He's been an absolute bust to the point where Alvarez got the two most important at-bats of the night, and he didn't come through, but I thought that was really interesting that, you know, Showalter's going, heck, we're going somewhere else now.
Well, unfortunately, Ruff went on the injured list yesterday, and I guess that's how they got Alvarez on the team. And they said he had a sore neck. And I guess it was some looking over his shoulder at the dugout.
Yeah. After, you know.
But my poor kid, I mean, Ruff was terrific. And I've had him on the show. The nicest guy in the world. And he's come through so much to be a 35 years old and get that chance. And he just has muffed it. It just hasn't happened for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that trade, I'll tell you something, Bruce, that trade for the Giants is going to be actually maybe one of the best trades they've made in years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we loved Ruff when he was here. He did a lot of good hitting. He's way better hitter than he's shown with the Mets, and we saw that. But right now, yeah, J.D. Davis looks terrific. He's got big-time power, just as Ruff did, and it does look very good, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, they got Zupacki, you know, with the big curveball, and then they have a couple of minor leaguers. So, yeah, that one, the Mets needed the piece to fit in because they're going to win a pennant in a World Series. And they did give up some talent to the Giants. So, interesting. All right, so today it's Scherzer and Kyle Wright, the 20-game winner, and Scherzer. Now, the teams are tied. The Mets have the tiebreaker. They just have to really win one game here in Atlanta and not get swept. But this is another good game today.
Yeah, the way they lit up DeGrom, the Braves got to be just, you know, brimming with confidence, you know, against the Mets. Who knows how that turns out? You know, like you say, Kyle Wright won 20. I didn't realize he was even close. All of a sudden, he's got 20 wins, and we know about Scherzer. But yeah, it's, you know, those teams want the home field, but you know, it's all going to come down to you know, they're both going to be in. That's obviously not an issue, but having the home field is a big deal. And they, you know, the Braves can if they can sweep this, it's very possible. Once you get past DeGrom, we'll see how that goes.
Well, the big thing for me, you want to win the division. I mean, because you can set your pitching up. If you've got to do that three game series, your number one and two starters aren't going to pitch until games 2 and 3. Of the five-game series, and probably not in Game 5 unless you come back on 2 days' rest. So this is a big deal to win this division for both of these teams.
Well, yeah, it really is. And, you know, with the Mets, you imagine the angst among the fans when not being able to pitch Scherzer and Grom right away. Chris Bassett's going to loom really large. The former ace guy who's been really good, one of the best third guys in any rotation. So, you know, it's that's a really fun dynamic between those teams. I can't wait to watch today's game.
Sandy Alderson is going to retire, and it made me think about it with the Mets. He left his mark on the game, I'll tell you that.
Oh, geez. Well, I remember going way back covering the A's in 1982, Billy Martin's third and fateful final year with the A's, and Sandy was working in the front office, and people knew that he was there, but they didn't realize how much influence he had. He was really the driving force behind telling Billy, you know, enough of this garbage, you're out of here. And I'll never forget, I was in Milwaukee for the World Series. Game 7 is the next day, and Sandy Alderson called each of us beat writers that night late, like after deadline, saying that we're going to let Billy go in the morning. And Sandy Alderson was the guy delivering the news, you know, the ex-Marine, the tough guy. And we all realized this guy's going to be a player. You know, he's going to be a huge influence on this team. And so on the day of Game 7, I'm not only writing that, I'm writing Billy got fired. That was a busy day.
Wow. Boy, Sandy Alderson, you know, the book that was written about him, I forget who did it, but Sandy was a student at Dartmouth, and he was a journalist or something, and he was writing about Vietnam and said, I'm going to go to Vietnam so I can write about it. And that's what he eventually did, and that's the kind of guy he was. Yeah, really left his mark on the game. So he is going to retire this year, which makes me think a little bit of the Giants losing Scott Harris to Detroit, where he's going to be the president of baseball operations. Bruce, what do they do for a general manager? Do they, as I like to say, go in the nerd network for more analytics, or do they go and get a baseball evaluator for the Giants? What do they do?
Well, you know me, I'm more nerds for me. And I have no idea. I really don't. I mean, you know, the way baseball is operates now, and the way Farhan and Gabe think, and it's probably going to be somebody who's heavily into the data and the analytics, but hopefully has an eye for the game. You know, what I loved about Brian Sabian was that he studied the numbers a lot more than people thought, but he really knew baseball. He was a tremendous scout. He discovered a bunch of guys that wound up being stars for the Yankees. Just a good, you know, he's a guy you could see in the stands, and you'd go over to him and ask him what's what. You know, I just hope that they get a guy who really understands the game, hopefully played it. You don't necessarily have to have played it, but has lived the game and knows what it means to see somebody, to see their character beyond the numbers, you know, how they perform in a crisis, what kind of background he has. And you know, I think Farhan is going to do that. I don't think he's going to bring in a total nerd who doesn't really get it.
I hope not. Billy Owens. Do you know Billy Owens?
Oh, yeah. Billy Owens would be sensational.
Wouldn't he?
Billy Owens would be perfect. And he's ready. He's been a great evaluator of talent for the A's. I mean, you know, the A's have put really good teams on the field, not this year, but consistently with no money. And that's because of, you know, Dave Forrest and Billy Owens and all Eric Kubota and all the guys in their player development. And that matters a lot. It'd be a radical switch going Oakland to San Francisco, though.
Boy, I wouldn't mind sitting watching a game with Billy Owens again.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I have done that, not for an entire game, but he really knows his stuff. He's impressive.
No, you asked me about who was that third baseman who played in Palatka?
Yeah.
In the Florida State League. And I said, oh, yeah, he had trouble hitting the curveball. The guy knows everything.
Right. Yeah, Frankie Lasagna, I think he was.
He knows everything. All right, a couple of one thing I want to mention before we look at a historical note. I watched the game last night with Corbin Burnes and Alcantara. Boy, what a game that was last night! And the Brewers end up winning 1-0. Williams has a nightmare ninth inning before he closes it out. But Alcantara, Corbin Burnes, they are the two best pitchers. You can have DeGrom. I love Rodon and everything else. Urias, these two guys, Bruce, to me, were the two best pitchers in the league.
Oh, you could really make that argument. I mean, Alcantara especially, just routinely going 8 or 9. I'm sure he leads the league in complete games.
Hey, it's 6. He's got 6 now.
And Burnes is, you know, we've seen him against the Giants. He's just ridiculous. He's so, so good. And that was a beautiful matchup. You know, Rowdy Tellez hits the sack fly. That's the ball game, you know, and I've been impressed. The Brewers are holding themselves up pretty well. You know, we've both been kind of down on them, but there is a lot to like there. The pitching, you know, Adames and Wong, the double play, and they're right there. That's another one to watch for the weekend. Obviously, with the way that's coming down, and I tell you, the way the San Diego's playing, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants go in there and just sweep them. Really, they're so unimpressive.
Boy, it's going to be quite – those games are going to mean something to San Diego.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Everything's close. All right, 1989, the end of a baseball season and two exciting batting races for batting average and with a couple of Hall of Famers involved.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Will Clark and Tony Gwynn going for the batting title. That's just that's about as good as it gets because Tony Gwynn did win that 89, just barely over Will Clark. It was his third in a row. And then later in his career, he won four in a row, hitting .394, something like that, in one of those seasons. But Clark's right in there. They're both around .333. They come down to the last day, and Will just got one hit. He got a single off Greg Harris, and Gwynn typically had three singles off three different guys: Kelly Downs, Jeff Brantley, and Craig Lefferts, and finally. Gwynn's down at first base, and he's clinched it now. And Will Clark just, you know, he shook his hand and gave him a pat on the chest. And then later he goes, I got beat by the best. It was just great to be in the running with this guy. And Gwynn said something like, hey, man, this is no big deal. You've got what I want. You're going to the playoffs. And, boy, did Will Clark ever go to the playoffs.
Wow.
And then, of course, the other one was Kirby Puckett and Lansford on the other side of the bay. It's the last day of the season. 43,000 at the Coliseum, by the way, for that last day of the season. And Carney Lansford is going up against Kirby Puckett, who wound up winning it 339-336. Lansford went 0-3. It was too bad, but you know Puckett was another one, legend of the game. The interesting thing about that game, as it became evident that Puckett was going to win it. Tony La Russa made a bunch of wholesale changes late in the game. It's the last day of the season. And one of which, he brought in Billy Beane to replace Mark McGuire at first.
Wow.
And Billy Beane wound up at third at the end of the game. So Lansford started the game going for the batting title, and Billy Beane finishes the game at third, which, by the way, was the last Major League game he ever played.
Wow. I don't know how you do it, Bruce. You come up with this. Very good. Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, good. All right, well, we got another game today, and the Giants are still alive, five back with five to go, so we'll see what happens. I know it's raining in Washington, so we'll see what happens with the Phillies. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Thanks, Bruce.
Great. Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.
Very good. Well, always a lot of fun. Paul White next, right here on the Sports Leader.